This debate, one of the most fierce debates I've seen in the jungle in a long, long time, jumped the hour and went right into hour number two. If you're on hold and you want to talk about whether or not I have the right to endorse a candidate for president of the U.S. Soccer Federation, then you wait on hold. Don't go anywhere. This debate is fierce. I had no idea that you felt this strongly about the ethics of the USSF presidential election, but I'm glad that you do, and you should. Every once in a while, you clone surprise me. I'm really impressed that you're taking this seriously. So save that thought. We'll get back into it in a minute. I'm broadcasting from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every single day. If you're just now joining us, the third hour is going to be a very busy one. Baltimore Raven Anthony Levine joins us. Also in hour number three, Jay Wright, the head basketball coach of Villanova, is going to join us. We are efforting Josh Heupel, who is the new head coach at UCF. All right, telephone number is toll free, 1-800-636-8686. I think a lot of you have me all wrong. A lot of you think that I'm still the guy who says, hey, yeah, soccer's horrible. Soccer sucks. Have some more Capri Sun. Yeah, I mean, maybe I said those things. Maybe I said those things in the 90s. And I still am not a big fan of the sport. It's not my deal. I'm not going to apologize for it. It's not my deal. But my deal is doing a good talk show. My deal is being informed and insightful. My deal is covering the news of the day. And the fact that Hope Solo is thrown in for the presidency is a big story. So I looked at that and I said, you know what? I'm looking at her platform. I'm looking at her campaign. I'm looking at what she says she's all about. And I'm this close to saying, do it. She's exactly what we need. She's exactly what the USSF needs. But no sooner than I laid that out, and I thought I laid it out pretty well. Well, most of my takes are laid out pretty well. They're my takes. Josh in Grand Rapids calls up and says, hey, hold up now. Hold up now. Not your, or Jake, I should say, not your place. Don't do it. So we'll pick that conversation up in a minute. As promised, we are joined now by the new head football coach at UCF. He was announced as the head coach on December 5th. He was the offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach at Missouri for the past 2 years. He's a national championship winning quarterback at Oklahoma, the AP Player of the Year, Walter Camp Award winner, Archie Griffin Award winner, and a consensus All-American. UCF, 12-0 this season. They were the American Athletic Conference champions, and they've got a Peach Bowl matchup with Auburn on January 1st. We are joined by the new head coach at UCF, Josh Heupel. Josh, it's so good to have you on the show. How are you?
We're doing great. Yeah, just trying to get our feet on the ground and get caught up here.
I would imagine. So if you were introduced as head coach on Tuesday, I mean, things have to be happening so quickly and spinning so fast. But from the outside, the process seemed to move pretty fast. What was the process like for you? Did it feel quick to you?
Yeah, the process was, as far as, you know, finding out that you definitely are going to get an interviewing, and then being named the guy. And I think that's just kind of the process in college football. And you got to hit the ground running. And, you know, so those last few days, you're trying to juggle recruiting, you know, starting to get your staff in place, and then also, you know, get to know your players a little bit when you're around campus as well. I think that's an important piece, you know, right when you first take over the job.
UCF head football coach Josh Heupel joining us. You know, it seems to me what's unlike your situation, or what's unlike other situations, is it does not appear that you're going to walk into a rebuild, obviously. You're going into a situation where the team is 12-0, they won a conference championship, and they've got a bowl game coming up on January 1st. So what's it like for you to come into a situation like that?
Yeah, there's no expectations for the following year, right? Right, Jim?
Yeah, right. You know? None at all. You're good. Yeah. Nothing to worry about.
Yeah. No, I'll tell you what. I'm really excited about it. Obviously, if you have a championship team, you got great character and camaraderie inside of the locker room. And in the few days that I've been around the program, you can sense that. And so there's a lot of excitement from the kids. And you know, the Peach Bowl is about finishing the 2017 year. I'm excited to watch that, and then we'll get started on 2018 right after that.
All right, so it's one thing to be introduced to the media and have that press conference, but what's it like when you walk into a room and you meet your new team for the first time? What was your message to the players?
It is different than with the media. Anytime, you know, they just went on a great run. You know, they're 12-0. They're obviously hurt a little bit because they lose their head coach. So initially, I think there's some uneasiness a little bit, and so you try to just tell them what your program's going to be all about. You tell them what the environment that they're going to be walking into inside the building every day is going to be about, and then you also recognize that this process of developing trust isn't something that just happens because you've been named the head coach and automatically it's there. You know, I told them that actions are going to speak a lot louder than the words that I just spoke, but what they'll find out is that, my words are going to be my actions. And I think, the last couple of days, my door's been open. I'm pretty sure every player has come through here. We've sat down, we've talked, and they've gotten to get a real sense of who I am and what our vision for the program is.
Josh Heupel is joining us. He's the new head football coach at UCF. I know one of the things that you talked to the team about was that football is a game of relationships. It's about being a brotherhood and genuinely loving the guy who's playing next to you. When you were coming up as a player, where did you learn that? And then how much do those bonds translate into wins on the field?
I've been on good teams and I've been on bad teams, and the difference, really isn't the talent level all the time. The difference to me is how the players interact with each other, their ability to hold each other accountable, to push each other on a daily basis, and their ability to be bought into one vision and one goal and be selfless versus selfish. So those are the things that we're going to try to build here. That isn't something that happens overnight. It's important that you hire people with great character that care about kids so that they can continue to sell your vision in their individual meeting rooms and at their position groups. You build that, day upon day.
So you talk about who you hire. One of the first guys you hired was Randy Shannon, and he's your D coordinator. What do you like about what he brings in terms of coaching and recruiting in Florida?
I've coached against him probably four or five times. He's multiple on the defensive side of the ball. He creates issues for you, schematically as your game planning and for your quarterback. His three-man front, four-man front, brings pressures from all over the field and then, changes up his coverages on the back end as well. So that was something that was important to me. I felt like philosophically that's the right fit here. I know Randy's a great teacher, just haven't been around him. And then obviously his connections here in the state of Florida, and in particular in South Florida, are as strong as anybody you're going to find across the country. And this is the greatest state to find talent, and we got to build a wall around the state and attract it here to UCF.
I would imagine, Josh, there was probably never a time that you even remember when you weren't around football or a part of football, because you're the son of a coach. And the story goes that when you were just five, you started following your father into the film room when he was coaching back in South Dakota. Can you remember that far back? And what do you remember about those days?
Yeah, I remember, riding to the office with them, D2, so low budget. My breakfast was typically a donut, which is what the players had, and a little bit of Tang. If you remember Tang,
sure.
Orange juice back in the day.
You bet.
And I'd be sitting in the back of the linebacker meeting room or the DB meeting room and paying attention for the most part and soaking in some of the technique and the rules for those guys on the back end and being out at practice as well. So, a lot of those guys that I grew up around that I really thought highly of are all guys that have become good personal friends of mine throughout the years.
Yeah, Josh, I would imagine the guys that you're coaching now, they may or may not know about the glory days at Oklahoma, but if you go back further than that, you were the South Dakota Player of the Year, then you went to Weber State, then you went to Snow College, where you were living in a four-bedroom apartment with seven other players and would take, on occasion, 17-hour bus trips. It doesn't sound awesome, but you've said that you had a rejuvenation while you were at Snow College. Is that the case, and if so, how?
Yeah, I think you learn to appreciate, the things that are given to you. Wasn't on scholarship in junior college. Obviously, wasn't living a life of luxury with the things that you just said right there. But you find out that at its core, really what draws you to the game is the relationships with the players. And then going out and competing, and you want to do that at a place you can win championships at. That's important. But other than that, it's about relationships. And so, that was the kickstart to my playing career, and my playing career obviously was the kickstart to my coaching career.
Which I want to ask you about before you go, but let me say this. When you were at Snow College, Mike Leach saw a tape of you. He called you up. I mean, what a great coach and what an amazing character. What do you remember about meeting him for the first time?
That he is a character. If you ever talk to Mike, you're not going to get very many words in the conversation, but always indebted to him for believing in me. Went on a recruiting trip, spent 2 days with him, really didn't do anything other than watch tape. Got a chance to see his vision for the quarterback position and felt like I'd be a good fit in it. And obviously that was the kickstart to, you know, Oklahoma, flipping their program around. Hadn't been to a bowl game for maybe the five previous seasons. And obviously it's been doing well since.
All right, so a huge career at Oklahoma. Then you go to the NFL. So what was it like when you first made the transition to coaching? I mean, given your background, did you know that was something that you were always going to end up doing?
Absolutely knew that's what I wanted to get into. It's never as easy as you think because you still have the itch to play. It's the closest thing to playing, but those that can't play anymore are in coaching. And I spent some time with the offensive line. I think that was a big part of my development as a coach, understanding, you know, the game starts up there and you can only do what your five guys up front can do. And then obviously, you know, I have bounced around different places and a lot of different coaches impacted my career and my thought process.
All right, so one last thought. The plan has been that Scott Frost would coach the Peach Bowl. So how do you approach, and in fact, is that how that's going to be? And then how do you approach the next few weeks between now and that game?
Well, like I said earlier, I think the Peach Bowl is about the 2017 team, and nobody wants them to go out and be more successful than I do. I can't come in within 3 weeks, implement an offense with maybe some different terminology and those types of things, and all of a sudden go out and perform and beat a really good football team in Auburn. So let's go finish it. Let's play at a high level, and let's go show the nation what this program is all about, and then we'll flip it and get ready for 2018.
That makes sense. UCF has new head football coach. It's Josh Heupel. Josh, great to have you on the show. Thanks for the visit. Good luck. Hope we can do it again next season.
Absolutely. I appreciate it.
All right, Josh, great talking to you. UCF fans, boy, it's been a wild, wild week, hasn't it? Unbeaten. Yeah, how about a coach, young coach like that, stepping into a situation where it's not a rebuild? I mean, sometimes coaches leave for what they may perceive to be a better situation or a different situation, and they leave a good situation. That's obviously what Scott Frost is doing. But as Josh Heupel said, yeah, no pressure next year, huh? Walking into a team that's undefeated, playing in a January 1st bowl game against Auburn, and they won their conference. No pressure there. But great place to be. Nothing to rebuild there either. 1-800-636-8686. Once again, the topic of the day, incredibly, is not last night's game. Is not the Heisman Trophy, is not the upcoming NFL Draft, which I want to get into in a minute, not the NBA. It's, of all things, soccer. And it's because I talked about Hope Solo declaring her candidacy in a Facebook post for the presidency of the USSF. And when I said, you know what, I've thought about this long and hard. I've looked at the other candidates. I've looked at Hope. I know her background. I know what she's said. I know what she's done. I know she's gotten into trouble. But I think she's exactly what the USSF needs. Jake in Grand Rapids did not feel that way. He said that I'm a member of the media. It is not my job to have an opinion on things like that. In fact, I'm supposed to be impartial. I can't lend my support towards a candidate like that.
Hey, man, you can't be going around endorsing people for president, dude. You're supposed to be the media. Do you understand that?
No.
You're supposed to be the media. You can't be. You have to be impartial, bro.
You have to be impartial, bro. You have to be impartial, bro. So again, I didn't know if he was kind of trolling me a little bit or if he was trying to be funny. So I said, okay, I'll wait for the punchline. Is it coming or do you mean this? He said, oh, I mean it, Rome. You're supposed to be impartial, bro. And then when he got that off his chest, he also said that I was wrong for taking back the golden ticket from Jeff in San Antonio. And then I think there was one more thing he referenced. Oh, that's right, that Jeff was going through a hard time and that it was the holidays and I had no business ripping a golden ticket that I had given to him.
Dude, golden ticket, come on. Guy was going through a rough time. And by the way, it is near the holidays now.
It is. Now, to be fair, when I ripped the golden ticket, it was not near the holidays because I'm not cold-blooded like that. Hey, listen, again, I'm not a guy. I don't have some, quote, shtick. I'm not some hot take artist. If I were to do that, I could feed you clones what you want every freaking day. It would be the easiest show to do. But somebody's got to check you. And that's me. That's my job. I'm like your parent. I'm not here to be your best friend. I'm not here to give you what you want. I'm here to give you what you need. It'd be easy. I'm not that guy. I'm not the guy to pound a guy while he's down and rip his golden ticket. I don't do things like that. Now, that's the sound of me ripping the golden ticket from somebody. It's a beautiful sound to a lot of you clones. Me, it hurts me to my core to have to do it, but it's my job to do it. before I go to break, really quickly, I'm not even saying that Jake is necessarily wrong. I don't talk politics on this show. I don't get behind political candidates on this show. I don't tweet politics. However, I'm looking at what happened to the U.S. soccer team and the fact that they missed out on the World Cup, and it was embarrassing. Even to me, as somebody who doesn't like soccer, I was embarrassed. I want them to fix it. And I think that Hope Solo might be the person to fix it, and I told you why. Should I or should I not be getting involved in something like that? This is a fierce debate that I never anticipated on this show. I had no idea. Where do you come out? Whose side are you on? And again, is this guy upset that I had an opinion, or is he upset that my opinion is not his opinion? Why do I have the feeling that maybe he doesn't like Hope Solo? Why do I have an opinion that maybe he had another candidate in mind? Maybe he wanted somebody else. You tell me. When we come back, I'm going to open it up to you. And a lot more still to get to.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Hey, look, every single day I start off with a plan for the program, a blueprint for the program, a direction I want to go with the program, but every once in a while, it takes on a life of its own. You know, I really didn't think that I was really putting myself out there or said anything so polarizing when I said that Hope Solo is running for president of the U.S. Soccer Federation. And then I laid out her campaign, and then I doubled back and said, you know what, I think she's the right person for it. I think she's exactly what the U.S. Soccer Federation needs. Now, I did acknowledge she has had some issues. You know, where she ran a teammate under the bus and then backed over her several times. And that one of her teammates left a meeting and said directly to her, I can't even bleeping look at you. All right, so you might think to yourself, how does that make for somebody who can lead us out of the abyss that we're in right now when she couldn't even get on the same page with her teammates? Not only get on the same page, but ran one under the bus, prompting another one to say, I can't even bleeping look at you. And yes, I do understand that she was suspended only last year. Only last year, for conduct that is counter to the organization's principles. Kind of tough to run on that, right? You want to lead the federation, but you were suspended only a year ago. And that was after she called the Swedish team a bunch of cowards. Whatever. That'll happen.
I also think we played a bunch of cowards, but, you know, the best team did not win today.
I love that. Like back in the day, the best player did not play goalie today. And then in this case, the best team did not win today.
Cowards.
Normally, my take is the best team always wins. The best team has won every game in every sport in the history of the world. How do I know that? I look up at the scoreboard. The team that has more points or more goals always wins. The best team wins. She does have a point, though. If the other team is a bunch of cowards, maybe the best team didn't win.
Cowards.
And yes, I'm aware that she and her husband, Jeremy Stevens, who's not the best guy, by the way, that they went for a joyride and got pulled over in a U.S. soccer van and pulled over for DUI. I get that. I understand that. I'm not saying it didn't happen. Just as I get that she does have a history of trouble with the law, like the incident with her teenage nephew back in the day. Hope Solo is going psychotic. She's bleeping, beating people up. All I'm saying is, we've hit rock bottom as a soccer-playing nation. Maybe it's time for somebody to come in and go psychotic. Maybe that's exactly what we need.
Hell.
When one of your teams has missed qualifying for the first time in decades, things are bleak. They're dark. And when things are bleak and they're dark, what do you need most? You need hope. Hope freaking Solo. If you believe in this and you want to take and support her candidacy the way that I'm thinking about doing, I'm not there yet, but man, I'm close. I am really close. And the more I talk myself through this, the closer I get. Take it online. Hashtag it. Hopes, no dope. So am I wrong? This is a fierce debate right now taking place on the phones and on Twitter. Am I wrong to get behind a candidate? Jake in Grand Rapids said I was. Let's go to the phones. I'll open it up to you. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to... Let's keep it in Grand Rapids. That's where this whole thing started, right? Jamie in Grand Rapids. Hi, Jamie. How are you?
I'm great, Jim. How are you today on this beautiful Friday?
So good. It is a beautiful Friday. What's up?
You know, that call from Jake in Grand Rapids, I'm so sorry. I'm so embarrassed about that. I've listened to your show for a long time, and he is by far a person that demonstrates a very low level of understanding. He hasn't listened to your show very long, I can assume, and doesn't quite understand it. So allow me to apologize for him. Jake, next time you have an idea or an opinion, tuck that thing deep in your pockets, my friend, and don't call the show. Keep it for at least 3 hours and then tell the person next to you about it, not this show. Jim, I've been listening for a long time. I agree with you. I'm on the Hope Solo bandwagon. We need a little crazy. We need someone that can lead this federation out of the doldrums. And I'm just hoping U.S. Soccer does the right thing instead of hiring crooks and people that take briberies. Thanks, Jim. I'm out.
You got it, bro. Rack him. Rack him, and not because he agrees with me, but it's a take. It's a take that he came in with. You know, listen, with that reasoning, Jake should have been raked too. He had – or – racked as well, because he had a take. Not as good of a take, but he had a take. All right, listen, I'm going to put this to you very, very simply. Should I have an opinion or not on who is going to be the next president of the U.S. Soccer Federation? My opinion is, and I'm not quite there. I want to be clear about that, too. I'm not thrown in completely just yet, but I'm close. I'm this close to talking myself into it. Or should I not have an opinion? Jake in Grand Rapids said, hey, listen, you don't go on CNN and give your opinion, or CNN does not give you their opinion on who should be president. You should not be doing this, Rome. You are media. Be impartial. This is a fierce debate that I never anticipated. Let's go to Joplin. AC in Joplin. AC, what's up?
Hey, man, buddy, I'll make this quick. I don't even like soccer. But Hope Solo is the best thing to happen to the United States Olympics since the Miracle on Ice. And I am not going to apologize about it. War the Sooners and war Josh Heupel. I am out.
Rack him. That's a brilliant take. Hope Solo is the best thing to happen to the Olympics since the Miracle on Ice. He doesn't even like soccer, and he knows that. Now, I'm not really sure why we're talking about the Olympics. I'm not sure what the Olympics has to do with anything. Now, she is a two-time gold medalist. I will give you that. But anyway, there's a vote for Hope. When we come back, if you want to continue with this debate, you know, you can fight this debate or have this debate on several different levels. Is she the right choice? And as a talk show host and, quote, a member of the media, am I even allowed to endorse a candidate for that position? I am very close to doing so. And Jake in Grand Rapids said, hold up now, Rome. Not your place. Not your job. Do your job, talk show host. Your job is to be impartial, nonpartisan. You cannot throw in with somebody like that. We're coming right back. And I do want to get into one of my favorite draft evaluations ever from a scout about an NFLer before he came out, and it just happened. That's coming up next. Time now for a sports update. Here is the very latest on this Friday.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Top of the hour, we have Anthony Levine Sr., Baltimore Raven. The Ravens are a great jungle team. They do great interviews. You know, for whatever reason, some teams are just really, really good like that. Arizona Cardinals, good jungle team. L.A. Chargers, good jungle team. Baltimore Ravens, good jungle team. So I look forward to that conversation. He's got an amazing story. Jay Wright, always great on the program. Villanova head coach coming up next hour. All right, more thoughts on the big debate of the day, whether or not I can have an opinion on who should be the next president of the U.S. Soccer Federation. That's coming up in a minute. I want to bring another topic into it, though. It is that time of year. And truthfully, it feels like it comes earlier and earlier every single year. Of course, I'm talking about draft evaluation time. That magical time of the year when anonymous talent evaluators break down NFL draft prospects and spew an interesting set of word combinations in an effort to hype up or break down potential draft picks. It used to be that we had to wait until January to get these breakdowns, but apparently it's never too early to start. And we've already got a clubhouse leader for the greatest evaluation, maybe not of just this year, but ever. Charles Robinson of Yahoo spoke to a number of evaluators about the most important position, quarterback, and the four guys who get the most attention, Josh Rosen, Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, and Sam Darnold. The consensus seemed to be that Rosen was the most likely to be ready to start from day one, that Allen is a bit of a wild card, that Mayfield is a, quote, physically built-up Johnny Manziel. And then you have Sam Darnold, a guy who reportedly had teams drooling last year when he wasn't even ready. When it comes to Darnold, at least one NFC personnel man is not especially impressed. He told Yahoo, and I quote, listen to this very carefully. On Sam Darnold, he said, quote, you can have him. Loopy motion, bad face, overrated, end quote. Wait, what? Bad face? Of all the reasons not to like a quarterback, bad face is one of the best ever. I understand there's this whole absurd glossary that comes along with evaluating players, which is how you end up with phrases like natural bendiness, deceptively athletic. One of my favorites, fluid hips, and more quick than fast. But bad face is the best one I've ever heard. That's the GOAT. For now and forever, nothing is ever going to top bad face in terms of evaluating a quarterback. I mean, are you really not going to draft a guy because he's got bad face? That'd be an amazing move. Bad arm, I get. Bad legs, I understand that. I certainly wouldn't want to invest big money in a guy with a bad back. But passing on somebody because he's got a bad face, that's an all-timer. I would love to be in that draft war room when the guy drops that line. Let's see. His numbers were amazing. He's got a great 40. His vert is incredible. Teammates love him. But man, dude's got a bad face. Or loopy motion. That's a problem. We can fix that. The face, though, man, it's bad. Seriously, it's a terrible face. That's a disastrous face. Yeah, because Peyton Manning is Brad Pitt. Tom Brady, yeah, because that guy was an absolute Adonis when he showed up at the combine. Bad face. I'm not going to say that John Elway is classically handsome or that Eli Manning was going to get a gig with Armani. They've all got rings. And if you're a quarterback who gets hit with that, say that you take that as constructive criticism. All right, I got bad face. What do I do? How do I work on that? How do I make a bad face a good face or a bad face not so bad of a face? What do you do with that? I mean, can you go see the quarterback guru, George Whitfield? You go to him when you want to work on your motion, your mechanics. But who do you go to about bad face? Do you hit up that dude who used to have that show on E? Can an injection or two fix that? Or do you have to go full scalpel? Don't get me wrong. I understand that whole look good, feel good, play good thing. But bad face doesn't mean bad player, last I checked. Then again, Johnny Manziel did not exactly have the greatest face ever, and that didn't work out too well either. So maybe there is something to that. Look, we can speculate that that's not even what this is about. That when this guy talks about bad face, maybe he's talking about facial expression. You know, like bad body language as it relates to face, I guess. But who the hell knows? Dude didn't describe what he meant when he accused Darnold of having bad face. And no. Clones. Just because that anonymous personnel guy went with personal appearance smack does not mean that it's okay for you to as well. Save your tweets from EJO. Save your witty zingers like, they said I had a bad face and I've got rings. Sincerely, N. Turner. Or, I've got a bad face. I've got a bad face? Yeah, tell me how my bleep tastes. Oscar winningly yours, Tommy Lee Jones. Still not funny. Still not original. Still not funny. I thought of it before you could send it, because I always know what your clone's going to say before you say it. I know what you're going to think before you think it. I just never thought that I'd hear an evaluator, an NFL evaluator, say, yeah, I don't like that kid. Bad face. Loopy motion, bad face. The actual quote to Yahoo. You can have him. Loopy motion, bad face, overrated. Oh, hell no. I'm not putting my name on that. No way am I going to risk my reputation. Not with that kid's face. Romy, if personal appearance can be draft stock fodder, can it be show fodder too? Signed, Aaron in Detroit. I just said no. That's my whole point. No, it cannot. You know, I want to know who this was. Is this an NFL draft evaluator or a source, an NFC source telling Charles Robinson that? Or was it Matt in L.A. on the voicemail for episode 9 of the Jim Rome podcast?
Hey, Rome's killing it. Matt in L.A. here. Sam Darnold, if you're listening, with your cinder block head and granite chin, you may want to look into running a construction supply company, my man.
Wait a minute. All of you are killing Matt in L.A. Did Matt in L.A. not say exactly what that anonymous NFC scout said and just say it in a different way? Bad face or cinder block head, granite chin, and instead of playing football, you should run a construction company. You got to have a new level of respect for Matt now, right? That is an incredible line. Oh, no, you can have him. Like, who's that guy over there? That's Darnold. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know what? You can have him. Loopy motion, bad face, overrated. What's that guy even mean by that, bad face? Like, that kid's too ugly to play for us? Or he has bad body language in his face? What does that mean, bad face?
With your cinder block head.
No, I know what Matt means, Alvin. You don't need to replay that. I think the guy means maybe he's not showing enough emotion. Maybe he's expressionless. Or maybe that's just not a face I want to look at every single day in my facility. I don't know. That's why it's so awesome. Of all the things to criticize a future prospect with, oh, dude, yeah, he's got bad face. Bad face. Let's try the phones once again. Phone lines are open. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Vancouver. Steve in Vancouver. Hey, Steve, how are you?
I'm great, Jim. Thanks for the vine there. Sorry for interrupting your show. But I jumped into the work van, fired up the local AM for the jungle fix of the day, hoping for some great takes on, you know, real sports like the WNBA, maybe Tiger on this comeback. Anyways, there seemed to be this analyst. He sort of sounded like you, a soccer analyst. Admittedly, he seemed to know what he was talking about. But what's he doing talking soccer on a radio station, Jim? Anyways, I was hoping either you or maybe Albie, dude, could look into this problem and get it fixed. That's about all I got for the day, Jim.
Albie just looked into it, and he figured out that you were the problem.
I'm
trying to have a serious conversation here, Steve, and you're not helping. I'm trying to have a serious conversation about who is the right candidate to lead us going forward in soccer as the president of the USSF. I'm trying to have a serious conversation here, and I was having it, and then things got real when Jake in Grand Rapids said, don't be doing that, Rome. That's not your place, Rome. You're not to have an opinion. You're media, bro. That was his quote. You're media, bro. You cannot throw in with a candidate. It's not your position. You know, and on the one hand, the guy is right, which is why I never do it. Have you noticed that? In all my years of doing this, have you ever heard me say during a campaign, here's who I'm voting for, here's why? Have you ever heard me see the end of a campaign where the candidate that I threw in with did not win and I started to tear apart the other candidate? Never, ever. I've never done that. So to a certain extent, he's right. Why do I not do that? A couple of reasons. Number one, they don't pay me to do it. It's a sports talk show. Number two, logic would dictate that when people feel as strongly about politics as they do, if I pick one side, regardless of that side, am I not risking alienating half my audience that has an opinion on that very thing? So why would I do that? I'm already alienating a number of you every single day with my sports takes. Why would I do it for politics too? So I know what this guy's saying, but you know me. I feel very strongly about the USSF. I feel very strongly about how embarrassing it was for us as a nation not to even qualify for the World Cup. When I see a candidate, and I was doing this very quietly because I knew somebody like Jake would come in here and say, "Nay, hey, hold up, Rome, not your job. Do your job." This is why I did not do this in clear daylight. I analyzed these candidates quietly. I was waiting, waiting for somebody I could throw in with, waiting for the right person. And then out of nowhere, Hope Solo comes in and says, "I want it. Here's what I'm going to do with it." And I'm like, that's what I've been waiting for. Hope Solo. Hell yes!
Hell yes!
There you go. That's been the topic of the day. The other new topic, Sam Darnold. Would you take him or not with a high draft pick? And if not, why not? Loopy motion, overrated, or, quote, bad face. And what's that scout or that NFC personnel person mean by bad face? He's expressionless, emotionless, or my man's not handsome. I mean, what is that? Help me with that. Let's go to OKC. Thomas in OKC. Thomas, how are you?
Hey, I'm good, Rome. How are you?
I'm great. What's going on?
Not much, man. First off, I want to say I've been a fan since the ESPN days, and Rome is burning.
Thank you very much.
This is,
cool.
This is the second time I've been on your show, and as far as Sam Darnold goes, he is a prime example of why they put them face mask visors over helmets. Nobody wants to see him. If he is the face of a franchise, what franchise will he be the face of? The Browns? They've already had enough of their problems. This kid ain't no good anyways. He showed that with his stats. He may be a winner, but that's at the high school level, Rome. That's about all I got.
All right, Thomas, you got it, man. Thank you very much. Appreciate the phone call, and I appreciate you going way back to the ESPN days. Hey, listen, answer your question, though, Thomas. If I didn't know any better, unless you didn't end the call the way you did, if I didn't know any better, I would have thought that you were calling me to say that Sam Darnold is ugly. And that ain't going to play on this show because personal appearances are not show fodder. If you want to say he's overrated, you go ahead and do that. If you want to say this guy's not a winner, go ahead and do that. But don't come on this show and say that he or anybody else is ugly. Rack me, I'm out. To answer your question, why do they put a face mask in front of a guy like that? It's because of the way he looks, right, Rome? No, it's because they don't want him to get his eyes poked out. They don't want him to get his nose broken. They don't want him to lose teeth. This is why players have face masks. The same reason why they no longer have leather helmets. They're not protective. Yeah, that was a hell of a good idea. Let's just put a leather helmet on a guy because that would be very protective. No, the reason they have face masks is for additional protection. It's not to cover their grill so we don't see what they look like. It's to protect their grill, not cover it. Listen, I mean this seriously. This is not a green light for you to call up and say, "I'll give you another guy who's got bad face, Rome." We really, you play the hand you're dealt, right? Some of us are tall, some are short, some are skinny, some are overweight, some are really good looking, some not so much so. We play the hand we're dealt. Personal appearances are not show fodder. I'm trying to figure out what an NFC personnel person meant when they said, "Oh no, I'm not taking that kid. Bad face." It's my favorite evaluation ever of a player coming out for the NFL draft, if in fact he is. But maybe Sam's not. Maybe he has to rethink it now that he knows that people think that he has, quote, bad face. We're coming back, and when we do, Baltimore Raven, Anthony Levine Sr. is my guest. Jay Wright, right after that. Hour 3, straight ahead.